welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Elizabeth Holtrup, and it is my absolute pleasure to be here today with Ron Butler, who serves in many capacities, today serving in the main thing that I'm interested in, his work with Texas Bankers Association and his work as chairman of the board. I'm going to go ahead and read through his biography, and then we're going to dive into our conversation for today. So, Ron Butler is the chairman of First Financial Bank Abilene Region in Abilene, Texas, and vice chairman and chief administrative officer of First Financial Bank Shares Incorporated. First Financial Bank NA is a $14 billion bank with 79 branches located throughout Texas. Butler previously was CEO of First Financial Bank in Abilene, Eastland, and Stephensville, and has been with First Financial for 32 years. Butler graduated from Texas Tech University with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree and also holds a Master of Business Administration degree from Tarleton State University. He is also a graduate of the Southwestern Graduate School of Banking at Southern Methodist University. He has been active in the community, serving on numerous community boards, and is the former board chair of the Abilene Industrial Foundation and Abilene Chamber of Commerce. Butler also serves on the Advisory Council of Excellence in Banking Program at the Rawls College of Business at Texas Tech University, and also the Advisory Council of the Rawls College of Business Emeritus. Former Director of West Central Texas Municipal Water District, Board Chair of Continue Care Hospital at Hendricks Medical Center, current Director of the Community Foundation of Abilene and the Abilene Improvement Corporation. Butler also served a six-year term on the Brazos River Authority Board of Directors. He has served numerous terms as a director of the Texas Bankers Association and is currently serving as chairman of the Texas Bankers Association. Butler was inducted into the Texas Bankers Hall of Fame in 2023, named Distinguished Alumni at Texas Tech University in 2024, Junior Achievement of Abilene Hall of Fame in 2025, and Distinguished Alumni of the Southwestern Graduate School of Banking in 2025. He's married to wife Lorelei, and they have two grown children, a son Trey and a daughter Sydney. Trey and Sydney are both graduates of the Rawls College of Business at Texas Tech University. Well, Ron, I would love to come to a Thanksgiving dinner with your family because that sounds like impressive credentials. And it sounds like there is many, many years of combined business knowledge and wisdom and also community service that you are bringing to this conversation. I am so grateful that you are taking time to speak to us. And I would love to learn from you about your whole career. I wish we had so much more time to talk. But specifically, I would love to talk a little bit about your service to Texas Bankers Association. Can you start by telling us a little bit about how you got involved and the many years you've served, which brings you up to your position as chairman right now?
Oh, you bet, Elizabeth, and thanks for having me today. The my history with the TBA really goes back to me being the fifth chair from First Financial. Walter Johnson, who's really the founder of our publicly traded part of our company, served in the 70s, and then Ken Murphy in the 90s, Scott Deason early 2000s, and then Mike Malden, I think about 10 years ago. So I'm the fifth. So Ken Murphy and Scott Deason hired me to come to work for First Financial 32 years ago, and Ken was serving as TBA chair about that time, so got to see his involvement, and then more so when Scott was chair, and by that time I was a bank president, and he encouraged me to pursue a board seat, which I did, I was asked to if I was interested, and it all worked out. So I've served, a couple of terms, then there was a few years off the board, but I've always been engaged with TBA, no matter if I was on the board or not. And then I was also with the American Bankers Association, which has a close relationship with TBA. I've served in some roles with them on some of their committees. So I was, I've been engaged with the association very passionate about our industry, and certainly TBA is, has a very important role in promoting and protecting banking. So that's sort of the background. It's been thrilled to work with Chris Furlow and the team for really, this is my third year in this stint, because I've joined as treasurer and then vice chair, now as chair. So it's been great. Been lots of fun things happen, fun and not so fun things happened the last few years, but it's starting to get a lot more fun.
I feel like it's been a wild ride with TBA just this past year. I had the pleasure to interview Jan Mills, who's the outgoing chair of the board, as you know, but for our readers, our listeners, Jan Mills. And it was so much fun to talk to her about her year of leadership and walking with TBA through a really landmark year. And I would love to hear your perspective both on the last year and how you're hoping to harness some of that energy, and what are the challenges and projects that you're looking forward to under your leadership this coming year.
Yeah, you bet. Well, first of all, Jan Mills did a fantastic job as a board chair, and certainly learned a lot from her. And one of the things I wanted to do as chair is to keep the momentum going that Jan built, and then David Osborne before her. And, you know, we've had so many great chairs, but David and Jan really served during a very difficult time. Ford Sasser before David, we had it was with the administration that was in power. It was not as bank friendly as the one we have today. There's just no doubt about that. And Jan was sort of in the transition of all that, so she got to experience a little of both. And certainly we have a significant opportunity to make some real progress, and we already have. So one of my priorities is the fight. I mean, we have a unique opportunity to get some things done. We already have some of the lawsuits. You know, we really don't like to file lawsuits at TBA, but we really had no other choice. Those are, we're starting to get in the favorable side of the ledger sheet on those, and still got some work to do. But there's some other things. I mean, we've got a myriad of issues that are some at the state level, most at the federal level, that we're going to continue to work on. But we've got a better probably the best opportunity we've had in a long time to make positive changes for our industry. So we've got a lot of work to do. Even though the Republicans have the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, still not easy. You know, we still have a lot of work to do, and still have a lot of communication. You know, we've got to tell our story every day, because almost all of our elected officials are not bankers. And so we've just got to tell our story. And we do have significant support from, the chair of financial services in the House, French Hill, and Tim Scott on the Senate side. So we've got a lot of help we didn't have the previous 4 years. So this is really good, and I think we're well on our way to getting some great changes for our industry.
I love that phrase you used about telling our story. I feel like whenever any of us participate in advocacy or we're meeting with elected officials, as you said, not everyone comes from a banking background, and the French Hill position is probably kind of unique. being able to articulate what's on the mind of Main Street bankers takes some communication skill. And I would love to hear how you have engaged with advocacy and any advice you have for bankers, not just in Texas, but across the country, engaging with their elected officials or any other position where they need to advocate for banking.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you can't tell our story enough. I mean, it's, and it, you know, you think you tell it once, and you say, well, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, they understand, no, it's not the case. You got to continually tell it. Because if you don't tell it, or us bankers, we don't tell it, someone else that's not a banker, they'll tell it for you. We've already seen that in the latest state legislative session. So, you know, some other factions trying to help us out, I'm sure. But so we've just, you know, and you have to have relationships and building trust. And that really comes down to the local level. So what I mean by that is that Chris Furlow, Celeste Embry, they're outstanding. That the congressman in Jan Mills' district, or in Will Lucas's district, they will get a lot, they will pay a lot more attention if Jan or Will delivers that message than they will from a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. It's just fact. Chris and Celeste will be the first to tell you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they'll listen to someone that can actually vote for them. and particularly a banker, you know, the bank, you know, being a community banker, you are connected in so many ways. You have all these relationships. So they know that you're in tune with the community. And so we have, I think, credibility. We just have to use it, and you have to develop those relationships. I know our congressman out here in West Texas, Jody Arrington, and he's been a friend for a long time, and actually has some banking background, but he still has questions about, you know, some of our issues, and I'm more than happy to remind him or talk to him about it. And he's very open and wants the feedback, but we wouldn't have that dialogue if we didn't have the relationship and the trust that we've built between each other over the years. So I just think that we never need to forget that. It needs to be relationships that works every day in our banks. That's what we're all about. Certainly the same in the legislative process and lobbying and protecting our industry. Can't ever tell the story enough. So.
I love that. And I feel like that term relationships, that came up when I was speaking with Jan as well. It's a cornerstone from my understanding of the work TBA does. And one of the things that I continue to just love about TBA is it's not just a Texas organization. Of course, Texas is the heartbeat of TBA's work. But through Compliance Alliance and through national advocacy, TBA really touches national banks across the U.S. And those relationships, to me, are kind of the way that I can relate to that, because when it feels like we're all scattered throughout the U.S., of course, we're in the same industry, but it can feel very scattered. And I would love to hear a little bit about how you, through your leadership on the board, have kind of focused on that theme of relationships, because I'm hearing it so often. It's very, very much a core value at TBA. And I would love to hear kind of how you and the board have cultivated that.
Well, again, that's you're exactly right. I mean, TBA, number one, stretches, you know, has an influence across state lines. And that's important, not only, you know, through, you know, a legislative process, but we have we raise more money than anyone else in Bank Pack. We have, and a lot of the, one way to think of it is that our Texas congressional delegation is very good. I mean, they're very supportive. Most are very supportive. And so we really don't need help in Texas, but there are other states that we need to. We need their congressmen. They maybe sit on financial services, so forth. So, and then through our membership of the Central States Organization, the 18 other associations that have, but they look to Texas for leadership. You know, we were the named plaintiff in these lawsuits, you know, but we took the initiative to make those things happen. And again, I just think that, you know, number one, Texas is always looked at as a leadership for, you know, in the nation. And because number one, we're so big, that's a beautiful business environment, and you know, we've got that can-do spirit about us, and so I just see that all the time. You know, Jody Arrington has introduced me to a lot of his friends in the House from other states, and they're always just amazed by our, you know, our Texas economy and the way we get things done. So it's a myriad of things that you know, give Texas the, you know, national influence, but we have, you know, that's not new, and that's been, and we'll continue doing that. And then the other thing is we've got some folks that are in positions of leadership in the House, in particular, where Jody, head of budget, Roger Williams, head of small business. I mean, I could go on and on. So we just got a real stellar group of U.S. Congressmen, for sure.
Shifting gears a little bit, I would love to talk a little bit about the intersection between banking and our communities throughout, not just Texas, but throughout the U.S., to me, banking is the heartbeat of any community. I'm sure a lot of folks would agree with me. But from reading through your biography, you have been deeply involved in your community. And I would love to hear your perspective and maybe any encouragement you can give to bankers about how to intersect banking with community service and how those can intersect on a personal and a professional level.
Yeah. Well, a bank is a reflection of the community. So if the community does well, the bank will do well. And so, you know, I was taught that early on in my career and said, you know, if you're not making your community better, then, you know, the bank's never going to improve. And so, and it's, that is so true. That was great advice. And so at the heart of every community banker is, being community and being supportive of our communities, being a leader, doing the things that advance your community, and you know, it's really in the DNA of every community banker. And I think that, you know, we have a great management development program at First Financial, and we talk about the importance of being involved in the community and being involved in the right things. I mean, you know, each community has its own priorities, its own ways of getting things done, and you just got to figure those out. And, you know, I would say here in Abilene, we probably have every community organization. There's a First Financial banker sits on that board and is in a leadership position, and I just think that's wonderful. And and we've got, and you know, it's very important we keep our communities growing and getting them stronger, you know, and having relationships with, you know, the city manager, mayor, and the county judge, and, you know, school superintendents, and, you know, because they too have the same, you know, they have the same responsibility. Their organizations will be better if the community is getting better. So there's a lot of like-mindedness, and I think that works. That's a beautiful thing. I actually became a, you know, a banker because my neighbor growing up was the president of the bank. And my parents were educators. We really didn't have anybody in the business world. And so I just saw him as a community leader and someone really cared and, you know, sponsored all the Little League teams and everything. So that made an impression on me, and I knew he cared, and I thought, well, you know, that's something I really like to do because I'm all about that. And but it's one the same, you know, it's if you're not improving as a community, you will not improve as a bank. You won't improve very long, I can tell you.
I appreciate your emphasis that bankers care. I think you just said that your parents were educators, and I feel that deeply because I come from a family of teachers and professors, and that is noble, noble work. And when I realized coming out of college that I didn't think I was cut out for teaching, I was a little bit at a loss. What am I going to do with my life? And I have felt so grateful that I stumbled into banking, and I had mentors along the way who kind of brought me along and took me from entry-level positions to being able to work in consumer lending and compliance. Can you speak a little bit more toward maybe your journey in banking? I mean, we got your very impressive resume, but I would love to hear just maybe a couple favorite memories or touch points that have impacted you along the way.
Yeah, you know, I'm so fortunate to have, you know, great mentors. I mean, the Ken Murphy and Scott Deeser, they're Hall of Fame bankers. I had an uncle that was, you know, my parents were educators, so I really didn't have a business mentor before I became a banker. But when I was in college, and an uncle that was very successful in the corporate world, and he did extremely well. So I would bend his ear a lot. And then one of the things he told me when I was trying to decide, I got a finance degree, and I thought, well, I'll be a banker, and I had some other, you know, opportunities. And he said, no matter what field you're in that you choose, be around successful people. And he said, that's your best chance of you being successful. And so that is a sort of kind of a simple thing, you'd think, but it's not, you know, not everybody does that. So that was the one thing when I moved to Abilene, I sought out the most successful people in town. I was not with First Financial at the time. So, and most of the people I just reached out to meet, you know, they were board members at this bank and, you know, successful people. And then they introduced me to Ken Murphy and Scott Deeser, and that they're very successful in banking. So, I mean, I really would have had to have been a real loser to not do well having those guys as mentors, not only the bankers, but the business people that supported the bank. I mean, I learned so much, still learn things from our great community leaders here. So it's, that's one thing I've always remembered. And as I've had a chance to kind of reflect on my career, that was really a key thing that advice was given to me, and And fortunately, I kind of acted on it. So it was a, it's a really paid off. But, you know, if you don't, I tell my kids, you know, when they're growing up, I said, you need to be, hang around good, you know, make friends that are good, good kids, you know. So that, that kind of same concept all along. And that's the same thing I did in college, you know, found some really good people.
Be around successful people. I love that phrase. Yep. And I'm going to keep that in my mind as well. And just when you said that, I thought back to that's kind of along the same lines of the relationships that we were talking about. And I'm thinking of so many ways that, that Texas Bankers Association provides opportunities for people to be around successful people. The amount of just learning and growth that I have been able to, you know, just see and benefit from. I work for Compliance Alliance, obviously. And I am so impressed with how TBA offers opportunities for people to be around successful people. Because some folks are trying their best to hustle and network, but they need a little bit of a hand up. Can you share a little bit of some of your favorite ways or ways you've been involved on the board with creating those opportunities? You mentioned the leadership opportunities, mentorship, but just touching a little bit on how TBA facilitates some of that. I would love to hear about that.
Well, I'll tell you, Elizabeth, the, you know, being on the board and being around the other bankers, and of course, being around the TBA staff, which is unbelievable, just, you know, very talented group of people. So I'll give you an example. I mean, I would have never met Jan Mills if I wouldn't have followed, you know, been able to follow her as TBA in the TBA rotation. You know, great lady, great banker. And, you know, I told this to the TBA board when we were honoring Jan at her last board meeting. I said, you know, I didn't know Jan before joined the TBA board. I mean, she's from a family-owned $160 million bank in East Texas. I'm at a $14 billion publicly traded bank in West Texas. I mean, what are we going to have in common? Well, everything. Banking, community banking is, you know, no matter what the size, it's the same core value, same spirit, same, you know, same way of doing things, and it may take on a different form here and there, but it's so I've learned a lot from Jan and the other bankers on the board, and developed friendships with so many that it's really a been so beneficial to me to meet all these great people, and you know, have friendships outside of, you know, the work in life. And so we'll be friends forever. And so that's really been a wonderful thing about being involved in TBA, to have all these great friendships and peers. I mean, we shoot, after the board meetings, we have dinner and maybe a few adult beverages, and we talk about our banks, you know, and I've, you know, we've shared best practices, and I love it. It's been a lot of fun, and certainly been beneficial to our bank as well. So it's the best part, I will take.
I see that we are already at our half hour mark, and I feel like this time has just gone by so quickly. I have really, really appreciated hearing your perspective. Not just the leadership you provide at TBA, but the leadership you provide at your bank. And like I said, I'm very deeply inspired by your resume and the community involvement you've done. That is so important for bankers, and that is something that I try to encourage in myself as well. And seeing people like you who's setting that example for people like me. I'm newer to banking, and I hope to be in banking for many more decades. And seeing inspiration like you, where you have poured yourself into community and service to other bankers as well as your bank, is very inspiring to me. So on a personal level and on behalf of our listeners, thank you so much for the work you're doing and just taking time out of your busy day today to just share a little bit about the work you do. Is there anything you would like to say to wrap up?
Well, it's been fun, Elizabeth. Thank you for hosting. And I would just say banking is a very honorable profession. You have so many opportunities to help others, you know, customers, community, you know, fellow bankers, you know, so, you know, it is a very rewarding and you know, very honorable profession, it's one that I love. And that's why I want to fight so hard for our, you know, for banking. So this has been a fun conversation, and I appreciate your time.
Well, let's continue the fight. And thank you, Ron Butler, for your time. I'm looking forward to continuing to benefit from your leadership within the industry and at TBA. To all our listeners, thank you for tuning in for another episode, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, this has been Banking Matters, and I am Elizabeth Holtrop.